everybody. It's Mary Lou Tyler, and this week's guest is Jordan Stupar. I hope I pronounced that last name correctly. He's the founder and CEO of Sales Domination. When I was talking to Jordan about, you know, what we should talk about today to enlighten you all, he covers a lot of the things that we worry about on a day-to-day basis. So we're going to start the conversation and let him drive, you know, the kind of the learnings, the tidbits, that those nuggets of information that you guys will need in order to start more conversations, more meaningful conversations, and do it consistently so that you can scale your business. Welcome, Jordan, to the podcast.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with what you guys do so we can kind of get the context around the conversation for today, and especially how you can help the business developer, the account executive who also does prospecting, or other areas that we may not be thinking or aware about when it comes to starting conversations with people we don't know. Now, let us know what it is, where you focus, and why you decided to stay inside that area of expertise.
Yes. Yeah, so what we do is we provide sales technology for individuals to small, medium, and large companies as well. Many people would call us a CRM company. I know a lot of businesses know exactly what those tools are. But really the whole point of what we're trying to build is to be something a little bit more refined and at the same time a lot more comprehensive when it comes to helping salespeople and sales managers get their job done the right way. And so my background is, you know, I come from about 17 years of sales experience. I've done door to door, I've done retail, I've worked in call centers, inbound and outbound. I've been a top producer in many of them. And at the end of the day, the biggest problem I always wanted to solve, I've always been entrepreneurial. I've always wanted to solve the problem of the technology that salespeople use. And so that's what I'm passionate about right now. And we're, you know, building a company around those values of saving time and being able to simplify things.
So when we talk technology, a lot of the terms, especially in the SaaS world, my SaaS clients, they use the term stack to define the number of applications that they're using on a daily basis. Either they're up on their monitors and they switch back and forth, or there's basically a threaded or feathered approach where they're on one screen and then the technology comes in as needed. And the fact that you're focused on tech, and if we think of the triangle of technology, process, and then the people side of things, where are you seeing the greatest fit for helping the rep maximize return on effort with in respect to technology? What areas do you focus on in the technology area?
Yeah, great question. I would say that the thing that we're focused on the most, I would say, is our highest value as a company, which is saving people time. Back again, being a sales rep, working in a call center was my last inside sales job. And I just started looking at statistics, and I found that the average salesperson is spending 62.3% of their day doing non-sales related activities. I've saw that between looking for prospects and then doing manual data entry and updating notes and then switching between all those different tabs in their tech stack was just a great waste of time, because salespeople, we get hired to do one thing, and that's to sell. And as I was using different CRMs and different dialers and different, you know, screen share tools and different, you know, go-to meetings and so on and so forth, I just felt a lot of the time overwhelmed, and that I wasn't actually doing the things that I was supposed to be doing, which again is sell. And so where I see the greatest opportunity using technology in that triangle that you mentioned is the relationship between the technology and the software products, and then the people that are actually responsible for using them, and then how that relationship between technology and salespeople actually helps influence you know, managers and executives within companies to actually make, you know, good decisions, good business decisions based on the data that the salesperson is entering. So what I see from doing a lot of studying and being involved in this industry is I see a ton of problems. Salesforce, obviously the largest CRM company, 91% of all the data that goes into any CRM is inaccurate or goes bad within 12 months. Mm-hmm. So that's a problem on its own. And it's also a problem for managers and decision makers above the salespeople running a company that have to make decisions based on bad data. And so the conversation that I really love having is at a really high level is, what are we doing with all the data that we're having from all these interactions with customers? How do we streamline the sales process? How do we streamline the communication between sales and marketing? How do we streamline sales and marketing into customer service? So on and so forth. And really, right now, it seems that the rabbit hole goes pretty deep.
Yeah, definitely. I know that that 62.3 number is a really important number for our listeners to absorb, because that number also means maybe that there's some bad habits being formed as it relates to technology and the use of technology. We hide behind technology as a way to excuse ourselves from having these meaningful conversations. But really, technology, I like to think of it as more of a form to our function. So we really need to amp up the number of meaningful conversations we have. And one of the best ways to do that is to leverage technology. But a lot of times we get stuck behind, I got to have this, I got to have that, I got to put this in. And it turns out, like you said, this overwhelm factor comes into play, basically paralyzing us. So as a technology expert, where do you see, taking a typical sales scenario where our goal is to have more meaningful conversations a day, what types of enhancements or technology assistance should we be putting into our daily sort of rhythm in our stack?
Yeah, good question. So one of the inside jokes that we kind of have here at our office between our developers and our salespeople and the conversations that we have is usually a line that starts with, what's better than? For instance, what's better than doing data entry? Mm-hmm. And the inside joke response would be not having to do it. What's better than figuring out what email to send to the CEO of this company, not having to do it? And so what our real goal is here is not only just to help, you know, utilize technology to make things faster, make it easier or simpler to use, and to save time, at the end of the day, what we want to do is be able to use all this data that's just hanging around and analyze it so then build algorithms and the technology that takes away some of those actions or time-consuming actions and just automate them in the background while the salesperson gets on to that next more meaningful conversation. And really, at the end of the day, there's a lot of different ways to do it. And I would say the biggest challenge that we have as a company looking at all of these, I can automate these tasks and put them in a way that they are automated, because again, there's just so many. So, I think that we're pioneering some really great tools that will help automate a lot of some of that, like you said, paralyzing list of things to do insofar as the sales process is concerned.
The other thing I like about what you're saying is that one of the things that I come up with a lot is the concept of workflow and this other term that I like to use called block time, where we're trying to single task our conversations, whether they be telephone conversation, email conversation, social, admin time, and put it into blocks of time that evolve around our buyer. And technology is the best resource for us to figure out in our day, when is the best time to call? When is the best time to email? And that information is out there, but we don't leverage it as we build our daily workflows. So I love the idea that you're taking that data, that previous history, what we call descriptive data, and we're using it to create more of a predictive environment as to when we should be having these conversations, with whom should we be having them, and what should we be talking about. All those things are what I'm hearing from you. You're leveraging in the technology stack so that when we do get on the phone and when we are belly to belly, so to speak, with our prospect or buyer or even an existing client, we have a relevant conversation that has been curated on our behalf. So it's meaningful in nature. It resonates with the buyer and allows us to then get into our sales groove and talk to them about why it's relevant, why it matters to them now, why they should move now. And that's what I think what you're doing, leveraging that historical or other heuristic data that can come in from the internet or elsewhere, gives us that advantage.
Oh, absolutely. And everything that you just said is exactly what, you know, I stay up late and wake up early for us to figure out exactly how to deliver that to our end user. So, you know, there's a lot of data out there. And like you mentioned, a lot of people really, I mean, we can kind of make sense out of it, but how do we actually apply it to our workday and our sales flow? And so, you know, some of the things that we're doing are just, you know, a button click away from being able to get that data and get that information. And so, you know, call dispositions at the end of a phone call. If you call somebody every day between the hours of 9 and 10 o'clock and you're telling the system that the person is unresponsive and you can't get them on the phone, well, why doesn't our system tell you, you know, next week on a Monday when you walk in, don't call John at, you know, the hours of 9 to 10. Why don't you try calling him at 4 to 5 p.m.? Because obviously what you're doing isn't working. So switching up the contact list and just being smart about the way that you're actually contacting people. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, once John does pick up the phone, have you actually done your homework? And homework is something that's very valuable to do, figure out people's affinities, their interests, hobbies, activities. But again, that takes time. And so you have to Google somebody, their company, find their Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn profile and read up on them. But what's better than doing your homework, right? Not having to.
Right.
So we've built in an enrichment feature inside of our system. When I'm on the phone with Mary Lou here, I can click an enrichment button, use your existing contact data, which I have inside my system, and it will go and scrub the web looking for your bio, look for your profile photo, your LinkedIn URL, your Facebook URL, any of your social media so that I can go check out what you're into before that conversation. So some of the features we're building are, again, along the lines of that inside joke of what's better than doing your homework? Well, not having to would be the answer.
Right. And then, you know, on the other side of that, I mean, I've already shared this experience with the audience, but I had a piece of software that popped up some information socially on a particular prospect I was calling, discovered that he liked a type of beer. It was like a smoke and something beer. I thought, what the heck is that? You know, so when I contacted him, one of my first sentences that I spoke to him about was, tell me about this beer that you like. Because I'm also a fan of the breweries and microbreweries. So I've never heard of this type of beer. We went into a conversation about that. And then it turned around because there was this trust and rapport that was developed just because I had an interest that he also experienced an interest in. We were able to take that conversation and move it to a business conversation. And from there, we moved to a next step. Had I not known that ahead of time and I didn't do any research, it popped up and alerted me of the things that he liked and some interest that he put in as something he wanted to talk about or was interested in. That made the difference, I think, in this conversation. Not only that, it shortened what normally is a 2, sometimes 3 call step for me to 1 call. So instead of taking an hour, 15 minutes, I took 20 minutes, boom. Talk about saving me time. I mean, that really made a big difference.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. Very valuable.
So let's switch now to analytics. I mean, as part of the technology stacks and technology, we also have analytics. And as you said, sometimes the analytics are there, but if we're not savvy enough to know what to look for, then we're not going to find that gap, that needle in the haystack. Are you saying now the technology can actually do that for us and then serve up the next day's workflow in the order that makes higher maximization of return on effort for us? Is that what these systems that you're working on, you know, actually are leaning towards?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's different steps. Right now, there's a lot of predictive tools out there based on data, which is awesome. Obviously, being able to predict things is better than nothing. But what we also want to do using the data that's continuously being put into our system is being able to analyze it and use experienced data as well. So, for instance, we're developing a personality profile tool based on the contacts that are inside of our CRM. And so, you know, again, if I'm contacting, say, for instance, Elon Musk, a very direct character, somebody that probably doesn't have a whole lot of time to fool around with your ideas, he's fooling around with his. If I'm writing him an email, what do I want to write? Well, I don't want to write things like, "Hey, Elon, I'd love to stop by your office at 9 o'clock on Monday." Instead, I might want to consider writing, "Hey, Elon, I will be at your office at 9 o'clock a.m. on Monday. See you then," because it's, again, more direct and it's more of a commanding type of "I'm going to be here" rather than, you know, a suggestion or something that he actually has to reply to. And so when it comes to behavioral and personality trait type of data, what we're leaning towards is taking all the data and analytics and all the reports and all the different things that we would generally have to just look at and then decide on what to do, is we're going to develop a system that will basically be able to write up the email for you based, again, on the contact that's inside the system, and we'll be able to make suggestions like Grammarly does based on how you're writing your sentence. And so that's one side of the thing. And then the other side of the system is being able to provide managers and executives, C-suite executives, or people that are actually responsible for making business decisions, the data that they need to so that they can make the right decisions. Right now, you know, with salespeople not entering in notes, with the fact that 37% of salespeople don't even use their CRM, business owners and you know, executives and managers are forced to make based on bad data, which is a big problem.
Right.
And so we're trying to automate the data entry process, because salespeople don't want to do it. They're not going to ever do it. They're not detail-oriented people. I know I'm not one. And so we're going to be automating the data entry process, where there will be no salesperson ever that has to, you know, use their keyboard to write data entry on what happened on the last phone call. Why should they? Wouldn't it be a little bit easier if we just recorded the phone call and converted the speech into text?
Yes, it would. Yeah. But, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I can see how right now we have to fudge it, obviously, in a non-tech world. I actually have disposition codes that the reps key in. And my argument to them is, look, we have maybe 5 meaningful conversations a day. This is business development. This is, you know, basically for 8 to 10 opportunities a month. We're average around 5 meaningful conversations of some type each day. So my argument to them is, it's not going to kill you 30 seconds to a minute to disposition this, so that we have our codes in place. So there's pick lists for call disposition, pick lists for next step. And then comments, though, they do have to enter. But again, we're trying to even simplify that process. So they just put the main keywords, the pain point discussed, et cetera, et cetera. When you do this with your text to speech to text analytics, how do we get that so that it can then suggest the next step? Is that what your software does, or is it recording it on their behalf, and then they still need to kind of navigate where they're going with this record? Just like in call center, you know, in call center, when you're working with predictive dialing systems, you have to disposition the call so it knows where to file it. Does the newer software actually, you know, act as a switching station as well, based on the keywords from the text analytics? Does it kind of know where the stage is next, whether active pipeline or inactive pipeline? Or is there still a little bit of direction on the sales executive to say, look, next step is this particular position in the pipeline?
Good question. So right now it's a little bit more of the latter than the former, because we're acquiring all the data that we need to. For your listeners, I think this will be something that sounds like, you know, baking a cookie. It should be very simple and it should be done already, but for some reason it just hasn't. Our idea of a good time is to have a sales rep make a phone call, and then they would be, they'd be able to, the only interaction that they're going to have with that contact file after hanging up the phone call is selecting a disposition. From there, we're gonna take the call recording, convert it into text, upload the notes of the phone call so there's no manual data entry, and on top of that, in the background while the rep is on to the next phone call, we're going to be running the text through a separate API in a separate computer that, again, with more and more data, we'll be able to say that your girl Helen on the phone, when she calls a prospect and says, hey, just looking to check in to see if you got the email, we can literally report back to her and her manager that when she says just checking in or just following up, that she sounds tentative. And when she sounds tentative, Helen's closing ratio goes down by 42%. So instead of training her on closing techniques, maybe we just need to train her to take a couple of these tentative sounding speech formations out of her vocabulary.
100%,
so there's a lot of really cool things that we can do with that data.
Yeah, the other thing that I love is, and I do this in my other life as a research analyst, is that we take keywords out of the data, adjectives, nouns, and we start building a sentiment database by persona. So we also know the kind of health nature of the conversation. We can't articulate the tone, but we can understand the use of words and how that translates to sentiment, which then translates into challenges that they may be having by persona. So that helps us organize eventual content assets. If we're seeing like this person, I'll call her Judy, who is basically coming up with a pain point in call number one, and then further into the sales cycle, she ends up with pain point, you know, number five in call number 10, whatever it is, we can actually see that transcript. We can see that transition from what she thought the initial challenge was, what she articulated what the initial challenge was, to what actually was most important to her that got her further into the pipeline. This is a huge win for marketing because they're never getting feedback are very seldom getting feedback from the actual sales conversations that are happening by sales. With your tool, it's very simple then to organize these adjectives and nouns with the existing databases that are out there into sentiment, which would help marketing then organize the assets and also look at levels of awareness at the same time. So in addition to sales skills, we have now marketing insights. And then my whole thing is, okay, what's the next step? And what, on average, if we talk about this pain point positionally in the pipeline, where do we go? Are we still active or do we go inactive or what happens? So the combination of all three, I think, is very exciting what you're doing in taking that text analytics and having it available in text format so that people can do further analysis on it.
Absolutely. I'm certainly excited about it myself.
Yeah, definitely. So we have a little bit of time left. I want people to understand where they can get a hold of you. This, you know, you do have a CRM. Does it compete with the existing CRMs? Is it bolted on? Where do you see yourself positioned in the market so that people will know kind of, you know, where you are relative to what their needs are?
Yeah, so I'll just be candid. I don't think that there's probably any of your listeners or anybody I've ever spoken to that actually enjoys their CRM. It's more of those, I understand that it's better than using a spreadsheet, so this is what I have. In the conversations I've had with people, I don't think that there's many people that walk into work and get excited to log into their CRM. And so where we're at in the market, we're a newer company, we're solving some big problems. Where I see us going is I see us being the dominant force in CRM technology, calling and communication technologies. We're going to be creating our own indigenous apps, if you will, that people typically have to purchase separately and then keep tabs open on the browser, such as screen shares, conference calling, proposal tools, invoicing, so on and so forth. We want to really condense all of the different applications that people pay separately for and then have to train on and have it all located in one easy place. So if you're even a little bit satisfied with the CRM product that you're using right now, there's probably a good reason that you and I as a listener should jump on the phone for a minute to figure out what your pain points are and what you would actually like to use or see your CRM do. So we integrate with 1,000 other different apps for all of the things that you use. And so we make it very easy. Our pricing is extremely, I think it's well underpriced compared to the other things that are out there. And so I just want to talk to other business owners, executives, and salespeople about the problems that they're having. And if I can provide any value at all, I call that a good day.
Perfect. And remember, everybody, you know, the name of the game now is computing, or actually curating compelling conversation. And technology allows us to do that because it's tracking for us what we've said on the phone, what we said in email, and essentially scoring those conversations so that we have a very good profile of our person that we're talking to on the other end of the line, and also where to go next and what to say next. And I think that's the biggest thing that salespeople can use, is this whole, what they're calling enablement. Enablement is only good if you're in the moment with the prospect. I mean, and the way to do that is to curate the data that you've been collecting over a period of time with conversations you've had with similar type prospects or personas. So with Jordan Software, it sounds like, you know, if you're really focused on not only saving yourself time, but curating those compelling conversations so that the next conversation you have, like I experienced, went from an hour, 15 or 20 down to 20 minutes, that's a huge savings, and also compels me to, you know, make more calls because I'm going to have more time in my day to generate the types of opportunities that I'm looking for. Jordan, thank you so much for your time. Very much appreciate it. Before we go, I'm going to put all your links on your webpage for the podcast, but why don't you let us know right now how we can get a hold of you? I know you have your own website, but give us the website for the actual software as well.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're interested in doing a little research on us, you can go to dominatesales.com. That's where you'll find all the info. You can schedule a demo with me. You can look at pricing, so on and so forth. And then if you're interested in actually personally reaching out to me, I am very active on all social media platforms at Jordan Stupar. So Instagram, okay. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, you name it. I'm there and I'm very responsive.
Yes. And you, because you're in the biz, you love to have conversations. I always tell people my phone number and my Calendly are on my website. That means I love to hear from you. Very few people exactly. Take me up on that, which is kind of interesting. So same thing with you. It's nice having these conversations. If anything, you know, pick his brain, learn about where he's going. And I think that you'll see that some of these older CRMs are nothing more than data repositories. They don't really help you sell better and help you sell on purpose and help you save time and maximize your return on effort. It's the newer ones that are going to give you those tools at the touch of a fingertip. And again, so you don't have to think, it all just happens right before you. When you click on the record, then all the relevant information comes up. I mean, what could be better? Jordan, thank you again. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mary Lou. Really appreciate it.